today on Real Radio.
This lady's persuasive. Note the order. They come to Christ, then they're baptized. That's the way it's supposed to be. The decision they made on the inside, internally, was revealed to the household and the public outwardly through baptism. Whole house got saved.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Signed, Sealed, and Delivered, continues a series now called the Book of Acts. The Book of Acts records the powerful ministry of the first century apostles. Their passion, of course, was for all to come to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, this included Timothy and Lydia, of course, a woman who was led by God to open her heart to things spoken by the Apostle Paul. In the message called Following the Leader from Acts chapter 16, verses 1 through 10, we learn to follow God's lead according to His Word, the Bible, and when He speaks through the power of the Holy Spirit. A true follower of Jesus Christ also needs to let go of the past, to be present in the things of the Lord, and to have hope for the future. Now in Acts chapter 16, verses 11 through 19, we'll see how we're signed, sealed, and delivered so we can in turn share our faith with others. Today on day two of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that there was a slave girl possessed by spirits who followed Paul for many days. So Paul finally turned and rebuked the spirits, and they left the woman. She did speak the truth about Paul, but Satan was trying to derail Paul with her flattery. Satan's subtle ways did not fool Paul. But you know what? He still uses those same tactics on us today. And now continuing his lesson called Signed, Sealed, and Delivered, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
But in Philippi, as we go through this study, we won't cover all of this today, but in Philippi, Paul will win three types of people to Christ, three kinds of sinners. First of all, we'll see a religious sinner, one to Jesus in verses 11 to 15. We're going to see a slave girl today who's possessed, led to Christ in verses 16 to 18. And then the next time we get back together on this study, we'll see a hardened man, a jailer, a man who works for the prison system, converted to Jesus Christ. So this is a very important part of Scripture, and we do well to listen to it. So here we go. It says in verse 12 that they were staying there in that city for some days. And this cracks me up. In my Bible, I got a little note going up to verse 10. Paul says, immediately, let's go. Come on, come on. Have you ever been there? It's a hurry up and wait kind of thing. Hurry up. You get there, hurry up and wait. They do all of this traveling and they get to the place. And wouldn't you think that if God showed him a vision to go to this area, that there'd be people standing on the shore with drums and a banner. Welcome, Paul, to the European continent to share the gospel. There was nobody there. And then once they get there, nothing's happening. It says for some days. Don't let that fool you. It's not just a couple of 3 days. It's probably what most scholars believe by the construction of the words is that's probably close to a month or two. And they're really not doing much. What would you be doing? I'd be going up the walls. I'd be thinking, maybe we made a mistake. Wouldn't you? I would. And it says here, and this is slick, it says that on the Sabbath day, we, that is Luke now, has joined the party. We went out to the city, out of the city to the riverside where prayer was customarily made. How did they know to go to the riverside? First of all, there's no synagogue in Philippi. That means there was not 10 Jewish men in Philippi, so they couldn't have a synagogue. So the next thing, according to Jewish teaching, was to go to an area of water, either the seashore or a river, to go through their washing rites as Jews. And so Paul and the guys, the four of them, get up and they go down to the riverside and there's these people there gathered, or women specifically, gathered for prayer. Guys, did you hear that? You usually find more women at prayer meetings, sad to say. We think we're too busy to attend prayer meetings, I think, most of the time. But there are these women gathered there for prayer. And they are praying, and it's a custom that they do that. And it says that they sat down, verse 13, and spoke to the women who met there. Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. Now this is fantastic. The Hebrew rabbis taught this. Listen carefully. I say they taught this. I don't teach this. Neither does Calvary Chapel. Quote, "It is better to burn the law of God with fire than to deliver it to a woman," is what they said. Well, I find that highly offensive, you might say. Well, you probably should. Paul the Apostle, was he not a rabbi? He was a rabbi. Paul seen women praying. You want to see what God's done in this man's heart? He's on a foreign mission field. There's some women over there by the riverside. Hey, come on, guys, let's go talk to them. This guy has absolutely changed of heart. He was taught, I'd rather burn the Bible than speak it to a woman. That's what they were taught. Gals, Christianity is your best friend if you haven't recognized it yet. You can go to every culture in the world, and where Christianity is at, women are exalted and women are treated with equality. Help me if I get hostile on this next one. The world has no right out there, outside those walls, to say, honey, submit to me, baby. I'm the macho man of the house. The world has no right to even put that claim on somebody's life. You know what context declares that right? Christianity. Because the Bible says in Ephesians 5:21 that both of us, husband and wife, are to be submitted to God. And when that is the context, then this thing about submission is no longer an issue. Wives don't have to nudge their husbands, and husbands don't have to drag that verse out and say, submit. Oh, no. When two people are loving God in Christ Jesus, you never have to bring the word up because it's happening in your heart. And I tell you what, when the man, when his heart is submitted to Jesus Christ, you'll never hear about submission in your own home because a woman will recognize that. And she'll follow because this man is under the orders of Jesus Christ. I think that's very important. Paul's heart has radically changed. And he goes to these women, and that's the way it ought to be in the world. And again, where Christianity is not, you will find women in slave markets, and you will find women treated as dogs. And that's true in the Middle East today, where Christianity is not held to. It's tragic. If you don't know that, then you need to read about it and be thankful and give God glory. Christianity is our deliverer, Jesus Christ. But it says here in verse 14, it says, "Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira." Listen to this. This is the reason why God has got Paul backed up against the wall and going over to the sea. There's a woman there that needs Jesus Christ. And listen to who this woman is. Her name's Lydia. She's not a Jew, though she's seeking fellowship among the Jewish women. She is monotheistic. That is, she believes in one God, and so do you. She's not a polytheist. She doesn't believe in multiple gods like the gods of the pagans, or Mormonism believes in multiple gods, polytheism. We are monotheists. We believe in one God. This woman understands truth. She is finding people who know the one true living God. As I said, her name is Lydia. Listen to this. She is a seller of purple. And this is something, people. It means this woman had a very, very important job. She was in the textile business. She had a home in Thyatira, and she had a home in Philippi. She was very, very wealthy. She had servants. She was the regional sales representative for no doubt some firm. And she was in that area of Roman influence. How do we know this? It is fantastic to find out just recently they have unearthed in archaeological digs in the area of Thyatira, they have found a manufacturing plant of fabrics and of dyes. And they have on block inscribed there various accounts and various contacts in various cities of the Roman Empire. And it's where Lydia was based. She was a seller of purple. And I don't know how to tell this to you anymore. This is how it comes to my Looney Tune mind. The purple was known as royal purple. You ever heard of that before? We've heard of royal blue. Royal purple is one of the most fantastic colors you have ever seen. And you know who her major buyers were? The Roman government. The Senate wore that. Caesar wore it. They had multiple robes. The fabrics were dyed out of a sea urchin that was found, that when it was crushed, and pulverized that created a tremendous purple dye. Very expensive. At that time, it was equivalent now to $1,993, a couple years ago, that a robe dipped in that dye was worth $100 in that age, in that time and age. She was a toga pusher, is what she was. She specialized in royal togas, and it was a big money-making deal. She's wealthy. She's got the bucks. She's searching for God. Let that be a lesson to us. It says there that she's worshiping God. She worshiped. And the word worship means to revere or to adore, but it's with ignorance. She doesn't know who. She's worshiping God. Are you out there? The God who's made everything, the one true God, whoever you are, I worship you. She's worshiping God, but it's in ignorance. And what a precious value God has placed upon her life. It says here that in verse 14, it says that the Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken of by Paul. This word open in the Greek means to open thoroughly. Ladies, it's the word that means to break the womb. It's the word that means a firstborn child coming forth, to break the womb. Her heart was broken open by God to heed. The word in the Greek, heed, means to be arrested of her mind. God arrested her mind, seized her. She was so interested in what was going on. The word means to bend the ear. I like that. It also means to stick like glue. Paul is speaking. Something's happening in her heart while he's speaking. And she's like this. She's drawn to hear what God is saying through this man. She had been prepared by the Lord. Remember, God works in unorthodox ways. How was he speaking to her? We don't know. There's no way to tell. But God was speaking to her. In John chapter 6, verse 44, you ought to jot this down, especially when it comes to evangelism and when we share with people. Jesus said, no one comes to me, unless the Father who has sent me draws him. That's why we're supposed to proclaim the news. Quite a while back, about 6 months ago, Rebecca and I were walking down Huntington Beach Pier. And there was this guy standing there. There's a lot of people there. It was a Friday night, and a lot of people were there. And this guy's looking out to sea, and I'm walking along, and Rebecca goes, tell that guy right there about the Lord. Right there, that guy right there. I said, why don't you tell him? She goes, tell him. I go, why don't you go over there and tell him? She's old enough to go tell him. No, you go tell him. So I said, I didn't want to discourage her, and that's why we were out there, was to witness. So I just was like, Lord, you know who, and lead me. And I believe that. I believe in the Lord's going to lead me and guide me to a specific person. And I let him do that. And it's fun and exciting. But she said, you got to go talk to that guy. So I didn't feel led to talk to that guy. But I didn't want to disparage her. So I went over there. And I began to share with this guy. And the guy was so open. And we sat down there for close to an hour and went through the Word of God. He was there for a drug deal. We started sharing. The guy lives in Diamond Bar. I said, well, we're in Chino Hills, but listen, where do you live exactly? Well, I just live off of Grand and Golden Springs. Well, you know what? There's a Calvary Chapel on the street corner. And I pointed him over to Raul Reese's church. And here I'm thinking, well, you know, I don't want to discourage my little girl. I'll just go along with this. And God was in the whole thing. God is in when we share. He'll lead us. He'll guide us, even when we don't think he is. He's going to work. But God had been drawing this man and drawing this woman. And so when the opportunity was right, it happened. In Luke chapter 19, verse 10, the Bible says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Well, that's neat. But listen to its counterpart. Jeremiah 29:13 says, God speaking, he says, you will seek me and you will find me when you search after me with all of your heart. Listen, there's the seeking Savior and there's the seeking sinner. And when they both meet, salvation takes place. And that's a beautiful work of the Spirit. Let's keep going on this. He opened, the Lord did her heart to heed the things that was spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, She begged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come and stay at my house. She's, and the word there is constrained. She forced them. This woman must have been head of the sales department too. This is precious. She gets saved. She goes to the house and she says, listen, I got eternal life. Listen to this. Listen to what this man has to say. Paul shares with them, or maybe she shared, and the whole house gets converted. How do you know, Jack? Doesn't exactly say. Yes, it does. We know enough about Paul and enough about Luke that they're not going to baptize anybody who's not born again. The whole house got saved. This lady's persuasive. Note the order. They come to Christ, then they're baptized. That's the way it's supposed to be. The decision they made on the inside, internally, was revealed to the household and the public outwardly through baptism. Whole house got saved. Household salvation. And then she says, if you've judged me worthy, if you think the Lord has received me into his family, then why don't you stay here tonight? The whole thing suggests that Paul was saying, no. No thanks. We got to go. We got to get moving. She says, well, if you think that I'm in God's family, why don't you stay the night? What are you going to say to that? You just baptized her. I guess we got to stay. Luke, go and load the donkey. Silas, you know, carrying the bags. I guess we're staying. She is slick. I love this lady. And so they stay. And from this house was born the Philippian church. You have the book of Philippians in your Bible. It was the first church. She was the first convert in all of Europe. And that is a neat, neat thing. Now look at this. We've got God's unorthodox ways, and now we have Satan's subtle plays. And listen carefully to this in verses 16 to 18. It says, now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. This is, you got to listen carefully. I'm going to give to you what I studied on this. It sounds insane, but it is true. The spirit of divination. In your Bible, the word divination is pythios or python. A pythios or python spirit is the word that is here. It's associated with the practice of Apollo. You ever heard of Apollo? You know, not the spaceship, who the spaceship was named after. Apollo, the Greek god. In the oracles of what is called Delphi, in Greek mythology, Delphi was known for her predictions. She predicted things of the future. Listen carefully. This is going to come home to us in a moment. She was killed by Apollo, who embodied himself in a snake and was then able to prophesy, acquiring her skills. Apollo would speak prophecy through possessing a snake, and he would do that about the future events to come. And when he would do that, now, when he does that in this time, I say now, 2,000 years ago, at this period of time, this slave girl was possessed with the spirit of divination, or pythos. She was possessed with what they understood to be the spirit of Apollo, who prophesied. Pythos is where we get the English word python. A snake that controls and destroys. In Greek mythology, it is a snake that controls, listen, by speech. She is possessed by a demonic spirit. They understand it to be the spirit of pythos, python, Apollos. This gets more interesting. They believe that this, now, Apollo dwelling within this woman would speak things of the future. This talking snake on the inside would speak things to come. By the way, the slave girl, according to historians, they were often caged. And by the way, you can go to Istanbul. You can go to places in North India where there are women today caged. and you can buy them for sexual favors from their masters, or you can buy them to tell you the future. You can do it today, people. Just think, in about 13 hours of airplane time, we could be there right now and you could see it, something that's happened and was happening 2,000 years ago and earlier than that. The pithos spirit. Is that heavy?
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Radio, in a message called Signed, Sealed, and Delivered. Thanks for listening. And like Lydia, God still places value on one life who opens their heart to Him. And from Lydia's conversion to Christ, the church at Philippi was born. Signed, Sealed, and Delivered is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Acts, a series that brings to light the ministry of the first century church through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. And by the way, if you don't normally watch Pastor Jack's real-life programs, please make it a point to view this week's special broadcast. Pastor Jack recorded a program for his channel talking about the issues that are facing us in this midterm election, and he encourages Christians to pray for God's will and to be salt and light as we vote according to our biblical worldview and values. Go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and you'll find all the info right there at the homepage. So, Pastor Jack, I understand you've got something real important to communicate to our listeners.
I do, Davey, and it is very, very important for sure. This is a special announcement to all of our Real Radio listeners, but specifically those of us living in California. And here's the reason why. This coming November is an election in California that is unlike any other election in our state history because there's so much up before the voter regarding biblical issues. And the number one issue is pro-life. The opportunity to vote for governor, for assembly, for our state senators, it's all about pro-life. And so here's my prayerful request to all of you in California and for those of you who know someone in California. And that is, will you please vote this November 6th? It's very simple. Believe me, it's very simple. You can go to electionforum.org, electionforum.org, and you can look in the state of California, exactly where you live, on how you can vote a biblical worldview vote from the Word of God. You'll see the candidates, where they stand, and then you get to make an educated vote to honor God. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 29, verse 2, that when the righteous are in power, people rejoice. But when the wicked rule, the people groan. So listen, I'm asking you, and I'm praying for you, that you would vote in California, November 6th, and stand up for Jesus, stand up for pro-life. Make your voice be heard by voting this November. I'm going to be voting, and by God's grace, not only could we have a revival in California, but we could also have righteousness again in California. So please vote November 6th.
So Pastor Jack, what would you say to our listeners that don't live in California?
I'm asking all of you that do not live in California to certainly get a hold of somebody that you do know in California. It seems like everyone knows someone that lives in California.
Okay, so don't forget to check out electionforum.org to find out how you can vote a biblical worldview this election season. As we move forward in the book of Acts, we've learned that the apostles of the first New Testament church faced a lot of resistance from the religious leaders of that time. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, they witnessed with boldness as the Holy Spirit told them what to say. And today, well, it's no different. We're still called to be witnesses for Christ. So if you need help in sharing your faith, or you've accepted Christ for the first time, let us point you in the right direction. You can visit our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. We've also got a tab there. It's called Know God. It gives you special presentations of the gospel to help you share it with others, or maybe to reaffirm your own decision for Christ. And Pastor Jack also offers weekly devotions. These devotions are offered once a week to inspire you and deepen your relationship with God. You can also access any of this information that I just mentioned at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. Thank you. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.